WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Peter King. America remembers its 39th president.
Jimmy Carter lived a life measured not by words, but by his deeds.
President Biden paying tribute to Jimmy Carter, who died yesterday at age 100. Historians have often said that Carter was a better ex-president than president. He was asked about that by China Central Television in 2014.
In my opinion, I did the best I could when I was president. I'll let history judge the result of what I did.
CBS's Skylar Henry.
In 1976, Carter beat Republican incumbent Gerald Ford to become the nation's 39th president.
I, Jimmy Carter, do solemnly swear.
Carter set out to reorganize the executive branch, creating the Department of Energy and the Department of Education. He also dove into foreign policy issues, leading to perhaps the greatest achievement of his presidency, the Camp David Accords that resulted in peace between Egypt and Israel.
But Carter was voted out after one term in the midst of economic and energy crises and Americans having been taken hostage in Iran. He spent the rest of his life in public service, though, especially as a hands-on home builder for Habitat for Humanity. Jimmy Carter will be honored with a state funeral and a national day of mourning, January 9th. Relief and rescue workers are scattered throughout the South after a series of weekend tornadoes. Terry Hackle is with On Point Rescue in Splendora, Texas, north of Houston.
These people out here are really hurting, and the ones I'm talking to, most of them don't have any insurance. So that's, you know, and this is their home. This is where they have to live.
Tornadoes are blamed for at least two deaths. She won the hearts of Broadway fans and then fans of a sitcom about a single mom raising a young son.
Actor Linda Lavin died yesterday of complications from lung cancer. She earned an Emmy nomination for the 1976 sitcom Alice, where she played a single mom. In 1986, Lavin returned to Broadway and won a Tony for the play Broadway Bound. She also had a recurring role on the Netflix show No Good Deed. Linda Lavin was 87.
CBS's Michael George. Search teams are still looking for remains in the wreckage of a South Korean airliner that crashed and killed 179 people. Weeks after he tried and failed to impose martial law in South Korea, its president faces arrest. Reporter Alex Jensen is in Seoul.
With investigators seeking to detain impeached President Yoon Suk-yeol after he ignored questioning attempts over his martial law order earlier this month, a local court will now decide whether to issue an arrest warrant. And this is even as a trial's ongoing at South Korea's constitutional court to decide whether to expel Yoon from office or reinstate him.
S&P futures are down 14, Dow futures down 91. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best, the only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, better taste, better nutrition, better egg.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Packers are swept by the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the second time this season, the Packers lost to the Vikings, again by just 2 points, the final 27-25 at U.S. Bank Stadium. Packers running back Josh Jacobs asked if the team has lost any confidence after being swept by both the Lions and now the Vikings this season.
Not at all. I told our guys at halftime, believe in ourselves. At the end of the day, like I said, we did a lot of things I feel like was on us. So I told our guys, believe in ourselves. I don't think it was nobody in here that believed that we were just going to lose. I think everybody had the belief that we was going to pull it out some type of way. We just fell short today.
The Packers will host the Bears next Sunday at noon. Men's college hockey. The Badgers beat the UConn Huskies 4-3 to win the holiday faceoff at Five Serve Forum in Milwaukee. It's the third time in 4 years Wisconsin has won the tournament. NBA, the Bucks are in Indianapolis tomorrow afternoon against the Pacers on New Year's Eve. Tip-off time at 2 p.m. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Batman fans eagerly awaiting the second installment of the new franchise will have to tap the brakes. Variety reports that the Matt Reeves-directed Batman 2 has been delayed a year and will now hit theaters in 2027. The film was originally slated for an IMAX release that would hit theaters October 2nd of 2026. Warner Brothers has announced that taking those screens will be a new Tom Cruise film that they are hoping to get on the big screen to qualify for the 2026 Oscar season. Here's one of Pete's picks, The Order, starring Jude Law as an FBI agent tracking a white supremacist group, is a really solid watch. Based on on a true story from the 1980s, Law tracks the gang as they rob banks and set bombs off, terrorizing the Pacific Northwest. The film has good action and is a great detective story. The Order also stars Nicholas Hoult as the leader of the criminal group, Ty Sheridan as a local sheriff's deputy, and Journey Smollett as an FBI agent. The film has been a hit with critics and audiences alike. Strongly recommend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
It is foggy again this morning. It is going to stay cloudy here through the day today with a high in the upper 30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy into the upper 20s. Tomorrow, cloudy, cooler in the low 30s. We're going to drop our highs into the low 20s by Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning, everyone out there in Civic Media land. Welcome to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Greg Bach. You know I am the producer for Pat Kreitlow, who is out on a small vacation for the New Year's. But we have in his stead the wonderful, the incomparable, the chief morale officer of life, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, how are you doing today?
I'm so good, Greg. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I'm doing fine. I'm doing well. This is the premiere of the new duo, the new team up, as you have christened us. what was it? Bach in the Dock?
Bach in the Dock, baby. I mean, could there be a better way to kick off this New Year's Eve Eve?
Yes.
The second to last day of 2024, then rolling out Bach in the Dock. because laughter is the best medicine, my friend.
It really is. I don't disagree with that at all. And good feelings, especially this early in the morning. There's no one better to help us feel the good feels of the coming new year than Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And if you want to join us, be part of the conversation, you can call or text us. It's the same number. It's 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream, like Tony just did, who said, "Is this Bach in the Dock?" And yes, it is, Tony. It is, in fact, Bach in the Dock.
You bet it is.
We're going to get T-shirts. We're going to get coffee mugs. This is a whole thing we're trying to do, so. But Dr.
You know, Grandpa Pat right now is having major FOMO as he is listening and taking care of his grandkids. You know, he is like, "Whoa, I wish I was in on Bach in the Dock."
Well, the thing is he goes, "I'll probably listen to him." I'm like, "Why? Sleep."
Sleep in.
Yeah. Alicia Saunders on the live stream also says, "Good morning, Greg and Dr. Lyerly. Good morning to you as well." Alicia, always glad to have you around. Dr. Lyerly, what do we have on the docket for today?
We are going to have a great day. We are going to do the usual stuff. We're going to talk with Brittany Merlot. Yep. We're going to talk about the headlines over the weekend. Of course, the Packers. And in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Emily Cephos, who is a delightful human being, a mom, an organizer, an educator, a former candidate for state assembly. And she's going to share with us her experience and what she's learned as a candidate and how she plans to move forward in the future. So it's going to be a great conversation all morning long. I'm so excited to be here with you, my friend. This is just like, I almost can't believe that we're doing this. That's how much fun it is.
It feels like we're getting away with it. You know, it's like, they're like, "Yeah, you guys can host. It's fine." "Oh no, what did we do? It's going to be nonstop fun for 2 hours."
It is.
We've got headlines and things to talk about too. And I mean, how about the Packers? Did you watch the game yesterday?
I watched a little bit of the game. Yesterday was one of those Sundays where I was just on the couch and real life was just getting in between my naps. Like I was just passing in and out all day long. I was like, I'm just too tired. My dog's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I just want you to be as tired as me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we all need those days.
Yeah.
Like those down days.
Yes. Yesterday was definitely a down day. It was a nice relaxing day. Just me and Bridget on the couch watching TV and just doing nothing, which was really great.
What are you watching?
Because I find myself, so
tomorrow,
okay,
just a little sneak preview.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we're going to talk about recapping 2024, all the stuff like entertainment and news and all the things that have happened. And as I was prepping for tomorrow's show, I was looking back at movies and TV and thinking, damn, there just wasn't a lot out there. Things look shiny and there are all these different channels and platforms that we can choose from, but nothing really has stood out for me this year.
Well, let's see. We just got done watching The Day of the Jackal, which was on Peacock. And I can't tell you if I really enjoyed the show or if I just was committed to watching the whole thing. And at the end of it, I'm like, wait, is there going to be a second season? What? This felt like it was going to be just a limited series. I don't know. Let's see. Oh, great show I think you would really enjoy. We watched in one sitting on Netflix, A Man on the Inside with Ted Danson. Very beautiful comedy about the ins and outs of living assisted living facilities. Made by the same guy who did
promoting
The Good Place.
That one hard.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. I think you would enjoy it. So, I mean, we just kind of throw on whatever. It's like I will come with a list of stuff we watched because it's too early to try to remember everything. It's just, I need to sit down at a desk and be like, all right, Greg, put on your thinking cap.
Mm-hmm.
What did you watch?
Yeah. And you kind of have to dig deep too, because you remember the things that you watched recently.
Yeah.
But in January of 2024 seems like an eternity ago. So much has happened since then.
Yeah. Yes. I know. Oh my God.
It's hard to remember what was popular back then.
Yeah. And everything, what was all the rage? And then 4 minutes later, like, okay, we're done with that. We're moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Alicia says she spent Saturday watching Skeleton Crew, which is the new Star Wars show I've heard very good things about. Because, on the Disney Plus, you could just stay in that app for months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
we got a new TV, a smart TV that has all the different apps. And I was looking for just news to watch and, just looking at the different news channels. And I noticed something really interesting. You can watch Fox or what is it, News Nation, forever for free. But if you want to watch CNN, you get like a 10-minute daily preview and that's it.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, that's interesting. Like, that's a deterrent that kind of pushes you towards watching Fox.
Well, yeah, but I would rather honestly watch an ABC News or an NBC News, not even like a cable news now at this point. I just rather watch, tell me what's going on in the world. That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the news and I'll form my own opinion. But yeah, if you want to talk at me for, 9 hours on one topic, then maybe I'll go to cable news. But yeah, it's just, plus we also have, we have all the streaming services, so it doesn't even matter anymore. We can watch whatever we want. We basically pay
it's
four times the point for cable. So,
I know it.
Tony does bring up a good point. Again, Tony he says, you know what's free? The Civic Media app, which is very true.
It's so true.
You can get the Civic Media app on your phone right now. You can call and text us from that app. Also, you can listen to shows all the time. You can listen to wherever you're from. And actually, we know that we are global because listeners in New Zealand contacted us and said, hey, we're on vacation and we're listening to the show in New Zealand. So come on.
That's so great. Yes, and there are so many shows to choose from. I mean, of course, you know, this one's amazing. Also, Matt and Aaron on Air. Let's put in a plug for that.
of course.
Talk with Jane.
Yep. Yes,
later this morning.
We will be doing that as well. And yeah, we are Matt and Aaron on Air, 10 a.m. to noon. That's a fun show. But there's a great lineup all day long. And you really can get great news coverage. You can get great information. You can talk. You can listen to great guests being conversated with, if that's a word. I don't think that is, but I don't care. But yeah, it's just it is a really good center to find all your news when it comes to civic media. You can also customize that app as well. You can, like, you want to listen to more sports, you can do more sports, you can do more news. It's all there right at your fingertips. The civic media app, it is free. Absolutely. So
And it's not just what's streaming now, but there are podcasts like Broken Pencils and Rational Revolution and people talking about things that are happening here in Wisconsin and topics that we're all interested in. We all want good, healthy public schools. We all want to know how to talk to our neighbors. So there are there's so much content on the Civic Media app.
Busted Pencils is a great podcast to listen to because the doctors are so good. And with Jess too, their producer, they're just having a great time, but also being really, really informative. And yes, that's the other great thing too, Doctor, thank you for bringing that up, is the fact that all these shows can be listened to as podcasts as well. You can go back into our library. You can download episodes. You can take them with you on the go. If you miss us, you can subscribe to the shows. They come most of the shows like this one or Matt and Air on Air will come to your phone in two a day, first hour and second hour, and then you can take it wherever you want and listen at your leisure. Mm-hmm. So
at your leisure, for your pleasure.
For your pleasure and your leisure. Thank you very thank you very, very much. Very, very much.
Wait, can we just like transition and talk about sports for a minute? Because I know we only have a couple minutes left.
Oh yeah,
in
of course. Absolutely. We were asked to talk about maybe the last 7 minutes of the Packer game.
Yeah, it was Packers.
The way you were talking, I'm like, oh, they won. And then I looked like they just didn't, but they lost by
they made up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad and then they got better.
But they also lost by a little to like arguably one of the best teams in the NFL. Am I wrong?
No. You're right. I mean, we've got a great division and they did great. And of course, we've got a wild card berth, which is fantastic. Yeah. So now the question is, who are we going to play?
Yeah.
And it's looking like maybe the Rams, maybe the Eagles, possibly the Falcons. We'll know next week. We've got to beat the Bears. And, I mean, we should beat the Bears.
I mean, everyone should beat the Bears. I mean,
I know.
But, I guess the question I have, and maybe we can talk about this on the other side of the break then, are your takeaways from the game, as well as this season, because like last year, it was kind of an up and down season. You didn't know where everything was going. And then the Packers, once again, just like, oh, they're pretty good again. They're always pretty good.
Mm-hmm. They're so young.
Yeah.
And they're really still kind of figuring it out. And, you know, we had some injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, you always have some injuries. You kind of never, you can't plan for that. But, you know, the thing about the Packers, though, is that they inspire you. They make you feel excited, like you want them to win. And then they get that big play and it's so exciting. So I was watching from a pub here in the Green Bay area and it was just packed and everybody was, you know, jumping up and down and high-fiving and it was a blast. Well, so it's so much more than just the game and the score of the game. It's the whole experience.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk more about that on the other side of the break. Well, we take a moment to pay some bills and get some water, stay hydrated, because Dr. Lyerly will tell you that staying hydrated is very important. But don't go anywhere. Stay close. You are listening to Dr. Kristen Lyerly sitting in for Pat Kreitlow, and I'm here too, Greg Bach. Hello. You're
Bach in the dock.
Bach in the dock. You are listening. that's sticking around. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Stay close.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. you will probably find the highest yield savings accounts at an online bank. Just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Dr. Larley.
Your music selection just makes me feel so cheerful.
Good.
On Monday morning.
Well, that's what my job here is on Civic Media Mornings, which you are listening to right now on the Civic Media Radio Network with your host, Dr. Kristen Larley, sitting in for the effervescent Pat Kreitlow. I am also...
Effervescent.
I know. I just wanted to get that. I love using that adjective whenever possible. But you are listening to us right now. We're sitting in... Mr. Kreitlow is on a much-deserved vacation, visiting family over the holidays, and he'll be back later on in the week. But for right now, we have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with you. And, Dr. Lyerly,
yeah,
you were talking
good
about... Good morning. You were talking about before, in the earlier segment, the Packer game. We just narrowly lost, but you know, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Enough about that.
Okay.
Let's not talk about the Packers anymore.
Okay.
Let's talk about something that is of utmost importance.
Yes. Yes.
Something that happened on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. There were all these bowl games, and these are serious bowls. So
yeah.
Let's just review a few of the serious college bowl game names.
All right.
We had the Wasabi Fenway Bowl.
Mm.
The Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl.
Okay.
The Pop-Tarts Bowl. And the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop. And I'm wondering, what is happening in the world that these are real bowl games?
These are all football
as
games,
a college,
right?
Yes, as a college football player, how are you like, yeah, we dominated the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop. We were amazing.
Do they get, like, if they win the bowl, do they get, like, chains to wear or something, or do they get a high five from Snoopaloop himself? This is ridiculous. Cause like, when I was younger, it was just like the Sunshine Bowl. That was it.
Sun Bowl. That's
the Sun Bowl.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Is it still the Sun Bowl, or is it like the Nestle's Oreo Monsanto oil company?
Monsanto.
I have no idea. Like, just throw a bunch of different names in there and then like bowl.
No, like the series, like the Rose Bowl, those are all still real, and those are all part of like the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
So those are like the big serious bowls. These are like the add-on bowls, but the names every year just get a little bit more ridiculous. And I mean the Pop-Tarts Bowl, please.
Well, you know, I mean, Pop-Tarts. I'm not gonna thumb my nose at the Pop-Tarts bowl. I mean, of all the bowls you just mentioned, that's the one I would probably want to be a part of the most. Especially if it was
I'm sure you do.
The chocolate frosting ones. Those are delicious. So.
Oh my God.
Is there a bowl that you're going to be watching? Like, is there one you're watching for sure? Is there one you're really looking forward to?
Hey, I am a Minnesota Gopher and they are playing on Friday. And I don't even know what the name of the bowl is that they're playing in on Friday, but they are playing in a bowl and I will be watching.
They are playing. That's just funny. They are playing in a bowl. And let's see, Minnesota Gophers bowl game. We can just look, because that's the beauty of the internet.
The Google.
The Mayo Bowl.
Duke's Mayo Bowl.
That is.
That's right.
Who will play in the, for Duke's Mayo. Okay. That's dumb. Mm-hmm. It's because there's a company, Duke's Mayonnaise. My goodness.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
But anyway,
moving on
to a more enthralling topic.
Yeah.
Have you heard about what's happening with Donald Trump and TikTok?
No. I know that they're once again bringing up the idea of banning TikTok again because, you know, I guess they're bored. But what did he do?
So it's supposed to be, unless ByteDance, which is the Chinese company that owns TikTok, sells to an American company, they're supposed to shut down operations in this country on like the 19th. So the day before the inauguration, January 19th.
Yeah.
So Trump has filed an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief with the Supreme Court, asking them to pause the law that would ban TikTok because, and this is what the brief states, this is a quote, President Trump alone possesses the consummate deal-making expertise, the electoral mandate, and the political will to negotiate a resolution to save the platform while addressing the national security concerns expressed by the government, concerns which President Trump, he himself, has acknowledged. So he is going to be the TikTok hero. That's the plan.
What? So this thing that
is a law that Congress passed because they were concerned that the Chinese government could harvest the data of millions of Americans, because this is obviously a very, very popular app, especially with young people. Mm-hmm. But TikTok is arguing that the law violates the free speech or their free speech rights under the First Amendment.
And that's what I've been talking about since this whole thing came up. It's like, you want to get rid of this app because of why? And also, individuals, Americans, let's just cut it off at Americans right here. Americans who make their living doing TikTok, making whether it's thousands or millions of dollars a year, I feel like they'd have a case to sue the American government saying, no, you can't do this. This is my job. You don't have standing to just what seems to be arbitrarily ban them because they're Chinese. There's a lot of companies out there that are owned by Chinese companies in America, and you're all of a sudden now you're afraid of data capturing. What about Facebook? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you shutting them down? Why aren't you shutting down any of these other companies in America? I mean, shouldn't matter who owns them. It should just matter the fact that if you're taking our data, then
That's a really important point. Like, how is TikTok all that different from Facebook and Instagram and all of these other giant, institutions that do harvest our data? And we can talk more about that on the other side of this break, because there's a lot more to this story. Mm-hmm. It ties in with everything that's happening with the MAGA movement.
And if you want to be part of that conversation, you can call or text 855-757-855-752-4842. Go to your civic media app. It's all right there. You can do it. All the same number. Don't go anywhere.
Come on.
Stay close. We are doing Civic Media Mornings with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and a guy named Greg, the Bach of the Doc. Bach of the Doc. Can't be the Bach. It's got to be Bach of the Doc. All right. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. Civic Media Mornings on Civic Media.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Monday morning. The holiday stretch can be incredibly slow in the spot market, but what could turn that around? We'll talk with EverEgg next.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Freeing up your time for the holidays is at the top of our list. When you choose BioVet microbial and nutritional products to keep your livestock out of the sick pen and healthy, you'll enjoy more time with your family this holiday season. Many thanks and warm wishes from our BioVet family to yours. Learn more about how BioVet can save you time and money on your farm by calling 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Colin Artema joins us. He's a dairy market advisor and licensed agent with EverEgg. He's based out of Chicago. He says, yes, the holidays can be slow when it comes to trade. A lot of people are off for the holidays and spending time with family. What traders are talking about is the recent milk production report, which is bullish due to the highly pathogenic avian influenza outbreak in California cows. But when California recovers, the story could flip. Colin explains.
I think in the foreseeable future, it could be a little bearish. So starting off with California, their numbers came in at negative 9.2% compared to 2023. This could be an argument that, yes, we will stay relatively higher heading into Q1. But what's interesting, if you factor out California, we would be at plus 0.7 nationally year over year. So once California recovers, and it seems like they will start to, it seems like this was the worst month for their bird flu, but the class three market could potentially fall.
And we'll take a look at class three milk prices in just a moment. Colin Artema along with us from EverEgg.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Monday morning from Chicago, up and downs in the market are in the single digits. 2025 new crop corn is up a penny and a quarter at $4.42 a bushel. 2025 new crop soybeans are up a nickel at $10.09 and a half. And July new crop wheat is up 2.25 cents at $5.66 a bushel. The Class 3 January milk contract is down a nickel at $20.07 a hundredweight. And the February Class 3 milk contract is also down a nickel at $20.44 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is foggy again this morning. It is going to stay cloudy here through the day today with a high in the upper 30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy into the upper 20s. Tomorrow, cloudy, cooler in the low 30s. We're going to drop our highs into the low 20s by Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. You're listening to us, Civic Media people. My name is Greg Bach with Bach and the Doc, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who is sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. Dr. Lyerly, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Kristen Lyerly. What are we listening to?
We are listening to a song called Computer Love. Believe it or not, a German techno band.
Get out.
This is Kraftwerk with a song called Computer Love. A song made back in the early 80s about finding love on the computers.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what's happening now.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. Before we left for the break, we were talking about Donald Trump and his singular ability to save TikTok, to save the company. Dr. Lyerly, can you get more into that, please?
Well, I think it makes sense because TikTok is very popular. And when we saw that it was threatened, people were speaking out about it. And we know that Donald Trump likes to respond to what the people want to see. So I'm not surprised at all by this. It'll be interesting to see what the Supreme Court does with it and where we go from there.
I would like the Supreme Court just be like, can you guys just knock this all off? Because I just feel like by Congress doing what they want to do with this, which it seems very bipartisan too, because Joe Biden has spoken about the fact that TikTok needs to find an American investor or American company to own. I'm like, I just feel like you're going to end up in court. This is going to end up in court, and not and not like the Supreme Court for Donald Trump. And I think the reason why we're talking about this is because he did. No one cared about who owned TikTok until it became this, you know, awful thing he said it was, and then we started caring.
Well, I think people did care, but no one was paying attention until he started talking about it. And it was bipartisan. It had to be. I mean, that's how it became a law. But you know, it's not bipartisan and is related is what's happening with MAGA right now. Have you been watching the implosion over the last week where the tech billionaire immigrants are pitting themselves against the base over H-1B visas?
Oh, yeah. This is where it starts. This is where it starts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
yeah. Because these tech billionaires they want more folks from other countries to come in and fulfill these tech jobs that they say Americans are just not capable of doing. We need talent from other parts of the world to come in and do this. And of course, the base is like, well, what about the Americans?
Yeah.
You know, we've had this anti-immigrant stance throughout the entire campaign. So how about we train more Americans in STEM? And we've got, you know, Elon and Vivek Ramaswamy and all of these other tech billionaires who are saying it doesn't work this way. It's been fascinating to watch.
Yeah. So what you're telling me is that just rounding up all immigrants, period, just regardless and throw them, that's just not a good idea. Is that what you're telling me? just the wholesale ousting of a lot of people just doesn't have the outcome that you expected it to. And now two of the biggest loudmouths in the party are, I mean, seriously, like watching people on social media go at these guys now. And this is what was going to happen. This is what was going to happen, especially with Elon too. Like, I didn't think Elon, I thought Elon would be, I think he'll be out by February.
The first buddy, but where's he going to live? I mean, he's essentially been living in Mar-a-Lago. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. It's so interesting though, to see like how these very different factions came together to help Trump get reelected or get elected, but now you're seeing these cracks in the base. I wasn't expecting it to be over these H-1B visas, but hey, if that's what it's got to be, then that's fascinating. Here's what Vivek Ramaswamy said as he weighed in and it really, really upset the base. This is a quote. He said, "American culture has venerated mediocrity over excellence for way too long. A culture that celebrates the prom queen over the math Olympiad champion or the jock over the valedictorian will not produce the best engineers." And then he went on to call for more math tutoring, fewer sleepovers, more weekend science competitions, fewer Saturday morning cartoons, more books, less TV, more creating, less chillin', more extracurriculars, less hanging out at the mall. And he said, if you grow up aspiring to normalcy, normalcy is what you will achieve. And normalcy does not cut it in a hyper-competitive global market for technical talent. If we pretend it does, we'll have our butts handed to us by China. So, I mean, this is a guy who just spit in the face of the mega base. And then we see Nikki Haley herself, the daughter of immigrants, of Indian immigrants, just like Ramaswamy, coming in and saying, there's nothing wrong with American workers. American culture is fine. Look at the border and see how many people want to come in. I mean, these all of these different mega people who support Trump are entering this conversation, and it's becoming personal. The attacks are becoming even uglier. And I mean, grab your popcorn.
Well, the way that, I mean, first of all, did Vivek Ramaswamy write that in that quote in like 1987? Because
hanging out at the mall.
Yeah, hanging out at the mall, having sleepovers. What's up, everybody? We're going to watch Nightmare on Elm Street 3 tonight. But the thing is that what he's saying, I mean, look, there is to a certain point, I don't disagree with him. Like, we need to prop up excellence, but that must be prevalent in our public schools. That must be something that is funded, that is must be something that is a priority by local and federal government. But to just, and what he is saying honestly sounds like what's coming out of the mouths of a lot of liberals, you know, mm-hmm. by way of talking about the importance of public and education, but specifically public education. And the question I have then is, what is Trump going to do about it? Because once again, like, this is the whole reason why I said Ramaswamy couldn't be a vice president nomination, because he talks like this. He would get in the face and the way of Donald Trump. He's got to have someone like J.D. Vance, who no one has heard from since, I think, the election.
Speaking of sitting on the couch all weekend.
Yeah, right? Seriously. But like, so what, I mean, this is going to be the problem with his second term, is that while you have some people trying to institute a Project 2025 agenda, you have two of the richest, most vocal of his supporters saying whatever they want, because at the end of the day, Trump doesn't matter to them. They're going to be rich regardless, and they're going to live their lives.
Yeah. And we haven't heard from Trump on this, but these guys are very outspoken, and they're piling on with each other about how we need to bring more highly trained folks in with these visa, and these H-1B visa people are not well paid. They're almost like indentured servants in many ways.
Yeah.
And the alternative, and what we're hearing from the mega base, is, well, why not train Americans? What you just said, Greg, why not pump up our public education and support our communities and make sure that Americans are great at STEM? The way that these two factions of this movement are fighting against each other, I think, is really going to be a challenge for Trump to be able to manage as he moves forward after the inauguration.
It will be an interesting, and I'm going to say the word fight, because there will be fights. There will, I mean, there were so many books written about Trump's first term, about the fighting that happened back behind the scenes between people vying for power. And, you know, those were politically powerful people and names you don't recognize or you've never heard before. But now you've got a whole new cast of characters, and you throw in all of these cabinet nominations, which I have said before and I will keep saying again, just sounds like a reboot of the Apprentice to me. All these quote unquote famous people that you saw on television, on the stump, on the tours with them. It's going to be a very and I don't say this with fun in my voice, it's going to be interesting to watch, but it's also going to be probably embarrassing too, because you're going to see a lot of loud infighting, if you will. They'll be taken to social media. They'll be taken to the papers. They'll be taken to cable news and bashing each other, because they don't care about the country. They care about their clicks and their likes and the money they're going to make and the notoriety they'll get off of this experience.
Mm-hmm. And could we strike an incredibly stark contrast with another really important news story from the weekend, which is, of course, the loss of the 39th president, Jimmy Carter, who was really, in so many ways, the opposite of Donald Trump. I mean, Jimmy Carter was a one-term president because he did the things that he knew were right for the country. He said the things that people needed to hear but didn't want to hear. And that really crippled his presidency, especially toward the end. And of course, you know, there was the energy crisis, and he asked people to cut back and to not use as much energy and to be smart about the environment. There were so many things that he asked of the American people, and the American people were like, I don't want to do that. And ended up instead going with, you know, Ronald Reagan and his gushy optimism. And then look at what Carter was able to accomplish in the post-presidency era. It what an incredible contrast between these two presidents.
Jimmy Carter just never ceased to amaze me. Like, you know, growing up, people would like to, you know, slam him and say like he was a failure of a president, but really when you found out he was just a guy trying to get things done. And we found out, and as you said, he said, use less energy, use less gas. And people were like, no. Okay, well, we can't be in this together if you're not willing to help out too. And the things he said post-presidency, I mean, his standing up for queer people in the face of a church he belonged to and said, I'm leaving that church because I believe in love. I believe love is love and Jesus is love. And building houses up until like what, 2 years ago?
And racism. I mean, in Georgia, in deep South Georgia, he was very outspoken and an anti-racist. And that was really, really unusual at that time. And I got to tell you, Greg, like, it's embarrassing. It was Carter versus Reagan when I was in the sixth grade, the first time I voted. And I remember the dominant culture was, well, Jimmy Carter's just a peanut farmer. And so most of my class voted for Ronald Reagan. I think only two people voted for Carter. And now I look back, and that's a really important moment for me to reflect on, because I didn't know anything about Jimmy Carter. But the conversation at my house was very disrespectful. And we did not measure the man for his worth and his achievements, but we got sucked into what the media was saying and those big talking points, just like what's happening now. And I'm embarrassed. I know I was only 12 at the time, but you know, like, looking back, I wish that my family had been smarter and we had had educated discussions about what's going on in the world and what are the right things to do. And that really gives me, as I'm looking at what's happening in the future, that really gives me the perspective of somebody who's been on the other side. So I can see it both ways, and it encourages me to keep talking about what's important and the lessons that history continues to teach us.
I think that's a fair sentiment. I would say don't beat yourself up so much over sixth grade, because one of the things they did do is they said I'm a humble peanut farmer from Georgia. Well, I mean, what may have hurt him while being in office, I think that humility, that humble nature, that love for America, and just the idea of wanting to people to come together and be as one, really came out in the next 40 years. It was the next 40 years of his life where we saw this shining example of a human being who never took bows unless absolutely had to, unless the president was putting a ribbon around his neck, but he just kept working. He kept doing the good work. And that's
exactly right.
Hopefully what we can all do in his memory. So
And we're going to continue to do the good work with our history lesson.
Oh, yeah.
After this break.
Ooh.
How about that?
Bach in the dock, taking a small break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed? Yes, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome back to Bach in the Dock. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly with my trusty companion, Greg Bach. And we're listening to Skeeter Davis because it's her birthday today.
Mm-hmm. Born in 1931, lost her in 2004, but Skeeter Davis was an American singer-songwriter. And the song is so, like, Papalicious so sad. Papalicious sad, though. Like perfect intro for history on Civic Media Mornings. But we got your rundown of the history, and we wish a happy heavenly birthday to Skeeter Davis.
So many happy heavenly birthdays to celebrate today. I mean, could we just have a little bit of fun with Bo Diddley, born on this day in 1928?
Oh my gosh, Bo Diddley, that man was such a guitar player, it's so fun and just awesome.
And a character.
Yes. Lost him in 2008, that long ago. My goodness, gravy. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Another.
And of course, how about Del Shannon?
Oh, I got a song for you. The Del Shannon song of all. Come on now.
Uh-huh.
Come on now.
Are we going to sing it?
Why not? It's his birthday.
Uh-huh. As I
there you go.
It's such a fun song. Like right from the beginning.
Yeah. And like this song ends and the end of the world, like 2 minutes. These are like my goodness. Just they knew how to
do two more different songs, Greg.
Right. Absolutely. Well,
I mean, this one makes me want to be like, yeah, let's go. It's Monday. Woo. That one makes me want to cry into my pillow.
Well, another birthday we're celebrating is the birthday of Paul Stuckey. He turns 87 years old. You may know him from the band he's a part of, the group, the singing group, is Peter, Paul, and Mary. They went in 1969. They went gold with this classic tune. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you know? I learned this watching the Bob Dylan movie, that Peter's name wasn't actually Peter, but they changed it because it sounded better with Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Was his name like Ilyanovich or something? Or
I honestly don't know what his real name
Ilyanovich,
was.
Ilyanovich, Paul, Peter. And Mary?
It was all part of the folk thing. It had to sound folky. This is groovy.
Yeah, we're so, and I love this song so much. I don't care who covers it; it's always good.
Aww. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. It's mellow. Other birthdays today: Sandy Koufax, born in 1935.
Yeah.
How about LeBron James?
He's 40
years old.
My goodness!
Can you believe that?
My goodness! Still playing the basketball.
I know he's. I mean, the goat, is he?
I don't
goat?
Know. I don't. You know what? One thing I don't care enough about basketball to get into this conversation. But here's what I'll know: is that if you have this argument, you're going to find at least five people who say yes, five people who say no, and I'm like, I don't really. Like, what about let's talk about Spud Webb? Spud Webb was 5'4", could dunk a basketball.
Spud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just if we're talking about the goat,
Spud Webb was not the goat.
I don't know. I think an argument can be made. Because
I'm not going to argue with you about Spud Webb.
Yeah. We're also.
Let's talk about Ron Wolf.
Yeah.
And what an incredible human he is. Born in 1938, Pro Football Hall of Fame general manager for the Green Bay Packers. Brilliant in just helping to further the Packer name and legacy here in Green Bay. We have so much gratitude for Ron Wolf.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, I didn't know you could go to the Football Hall of Fame as a general manager. I thought that I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very,
it's about the pack. It's not just about the players, Greg.
Well, now I know that.
Could we get into a little Monkees?
Yeah, of course we can.
I love the Monkees.
We could always. It's my first concert, 1986. That's
really me too.
Yeah, and was it with Weird Al Yankovic?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay, well,
I remember skipping a high school banquet for like National Honor Society so I could go see the Monkees at the Brown County Coliseum.
Oh no, then that wasn't the one I saw. I saw the one in Milwaukee. But still, we're celebrating Michael Nesmith and Davy Jones, who I think Mickey's the only one left. Yeah, Michael died in 2021 and Davy Jones died in 2012, but we have this lovely song written and sung by Michael Nesmith of the Monkees.
This is a deep cut, Greg.
This is. I'm a Michael Nesmith guy.
I thought you were going to... Okay, two things. One, I thought you were going to go with I'm a Believer. And two, Michael Nesmith's mom invented liquid paper.
Yes. I knew that. And no, I'm always going to play Michael Nesmith songs. I mean, I like all the other songs, don't get me wrong. But I love Michael Nesmith. Uh-huh. He's wonderful, so...
Yeah, I was... a big Monkees fan back in the day when they were really big on MTV when MTV played music.
We are also celebrating the birthday of punk rock icon Patti Smith, who is turning 78 today and did really well with this, believe it or not, Bruce Springsteen cover. A lot of people don't know that you wrote this
song. I love this song.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. While we listen to this, let's also acknowledge Jeff Lynne's birthday from ELO. He's 77 today. Susie Bogus, 68 today. And Al Goulding is 38.
Wow.
I know.
And what do we have coming up in the second hour, Dr. Lively?
We've got Brittany Merlot.
Brittany Merlot.
Weather.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm sure Rob is going to talk to us about weather from Tigerton.
93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Peter King. Jimmy Carter is being remembered for his dedication to peace and public service. America's longest living former president was 100 when he died yesterday in his hometown of Plains, Georgia. His lasting legacy includes brokering the Camp David Accords between Egypt and Israel in 1978.
Let history record that deep and ancient antagonism can be settled without bloodshed.
But the next year, more than 40 Americans were taken hostage in Iran, and that was part of his undoing. Retired CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
While many likely remember Jimmy Carter's presidency for the Iran hostage crisis, he had a very consequential White House tenure. He forged the Israeli-Egyptian peace agreement that still ensures at least a cold peace between those two adversaries. There were environmental advances during his term